Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. You know, before they were legends of outlaw country, they were lost souls looking for their sound. Don't miss Mandy Moore and the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the rise of outlaw country music and its biggest stars. Hear how one woman's vision in her tiny living room, far from Nashville's Music Row, became the epicenter of a musical movement. Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in The Boar's Nest. Listen now at audible.com/The Boar's Nest.
Hey, it's Amy Brown here to talk about St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. For 60 years, St. Jude doctors and researchers have helped push the overall childhood cancer survivor rate from 20% to more than 80%. But we need your help getting that number to 100%. And most important, your support means that families will never receive a bill from St. Jude for treatment, travel, housing, or food. Now, that peace of mind means so much. So join me in helping St. Jude in the fight against childhood cancer. Become a partner in hope and text Bobby to 785-833. That's B-O-B-B-Y to 785-833.
This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p.
They say you'll know when the one comes on. And some girls do changed our everything.
Episode 441, Mark Miller of Sawyer Brown. As you'll see, there is no Sawyer Brown. That's not a person. That's the name of a band. That's like Hootie. There's no Hootie in Hootie and the Blowfish. Actually, Hootie was two people. Hootie, their friend, and Blowfish, which is their friend. It wasn't actually a group of Blowfish. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And Sawyer Brown is the name of a band, and it's after they changed their original name. They had to pick like a street. They did. That's their band. But Mark Miller is the lead singer. Man, love the guy. Some of the songs, and the race is on, and here comes. And that was a cover, an old George Jones cover, which we talk about. Some girls don't like girls like me. Some girls do. And if you're asking yourself, why is Bobby singing them and not playing them? Because we will go to podcast jail if we play them. We can't play the clip or we get sued. Or how about, I want to thank mama for the cooking, daddy for the whooping, the devil for the trouble that I get into. That's the number one. Thank God for you. He's got a 40th anniversary project, which includes his book. Also, there's a documentary on the band coming out. But there's a new album that's out called Desperado Troubadours. It came out March 8th, so whenever this goes up, maybe a couple weeks ago. It's first album in 20 years. Blake Shelton produced it. We talked about that. And they're all over in 2024. And he sounds awesome as far as how he sings. It sounds exactly the same. He came and played with Eddie and I at the Ryman a couple years ago. And it sounds exactly like you think Sawyer Brown would sound if it was an album. So Mark Miller of Sawyer Brown. I left this interview going like, I'd like to be friends with that guy.
I just want to hear him talk all the time, his little voice.
Like sometimes I'm like, oh, that's cool. I looked up to them when I was a kid as an artist with great songs, or they seem like a good person. But I was like, man, I want to go play ball with Mark, or like I want to hang out with this dude. So, all right, Mark Miller of Sawyer Brown. By the way, we'll have another one coming up this week with Sarah Evans. It's a tour this week. All right, here you go. It is the Bobby Cast. Mark, I'm a big fan. You know, let me just say for 5 seconds, I'm a massive fan. So,
I'm a massive fan.
I got to geek out for a second because then I got to get professional. But I just love you guys. So all that. Eddie, you want to say anything real quick?
I'm a huge fan, and this is kind of embarrassing, Mark, but whenever I get sick with nasal congestion, I sing your song. Just because like your voice is so cool to me, and that's the only time I can get close to
it. It sounds like that. So that's us geeking out. Now we'll be professional, if that's okay.
Okay.
Okay, yeah. So Mark, you're in Sawyer Brown. Does everybody think you're Sawyer?
Yes.
Because there are Hootie, Darius. He's not really Hootie. You're not Sawyer. When you name yourself Sawyer Brown after a person, or was it a street? A
street,
person?
Yes. Yeah.
Did Sawyer you Brown know Road. That was going to be the thing where everybody thought you were Sawyer?
No. Well, you know, because I wear the Panama hat on stage and Tom Sawyer and the whole thing. We really like the name like Barefoot Jerry and you know, a lot of the bands that, you know, had like named Marshall Tucker, Lynyrd Skynyrd. So that was kind of the thought. But really didn't have an idea that people were going to start calling me Sawyer. But they still do.
I would think so. Like with Lynyrd Skynyrd, I would think that rhymes. That's funny. That's not someone's name.
Yeah.
But I think Sawyer Brown's like a dude, the mailman. Like that's like the dude who lives down the road. Yeah. And I think forever, as a kid, I probably thought Sawyer was the lead singer. Yeah. And I bet that happens all the time. Are you Sawyer?
Yeah. Yeah. I did an interview last week with someone new in radio.
Yeah.
And I said, hey, this is Mark Miller. And she said, well, are you handling Sawyer?
And you know what? God bless them. Sawyer, good to see you.
Yeah.
So, hey, a couple things. One, we'll talk about the new record in a second, but your book, The Boys and Me, and it's a memoir that you wrote about the band and about your life and all the times. And I'm sure the book's great and stuff, but I want to go to the back here. So, Eddie, I'm going to read you one of these because what you do is you ask people to say nice things about you or the book, right? And someone wrote this. Mark Miller is a great guy and a true loyal friend. The Sawyer Brown Band is my favorite band. No wonder they have been at the top for 40 years and still counting. Do you know who said that? Larry Bird.
Wow. Our buddy Larry Bird.
Not your buddy. So, Mark, you know Eddie signed my Larry Bird ball.
I know.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
Oh, what an idiot.
I love Larry Bird. How do you know Larry Bird?
I've known Larry for a long time. He's a big Sawyer Brown fan.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And so, but you know, Larry's from Indiana.
Yep.
You know, it's country boy for sure. I think at times maybe we just associate him with the Celtics and Boston. And even though that's a very country centric place now, maybe back then it wasn't. But yeah, he's a country boy. The first time you met him, did he come to a show? Did you go to a game? What happened there?
First time I met him, his brother had come to a show.
Eddie?
Mark.
Oh, the other brother.
His older brother.
Yeah, got it.
Yeah. And so Mark tells me Larry's a big fan. And I had a place in Naples. Larry also had a place in Naples. And he said, if you go down, Larry'd like to golf with you.
That's crazy.
So I get a call from Larry to golf. And so I golf with Larry. And we ended up, like, I was down there 6 days. We ended up golfing every day that I was down
there. Like
and that was like in 93 or 94.
Wow. That's like right after Dream Team stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you talk about that?
No.
You didn't talk about basketball at all?
Larry, okay, the very first day, we are literally driving. He picks me up. It's about 25 minutes to the golf course. And we're on the way. One of my songs comes on the radio. He looks at me like this and just kind of shakes
his
head. Rolls his eyes. So we golf, you know, like 4.5 hours. He doesn't say a word to me. Nothing.
Wait, you mean not even a single word? Not about
he would say, you know, there's a trap up here on the left hand side.
In the same cart?
In the same cart.
That's so awkward.
Yeah, really weird.
Yeah, yeah. And we finish the whole day. We go back to the hotel. He doesn't talk to me on the way over or on the way back. And we get to the hotel. He said, "Hey, man, that was a blast. You want to go tomorrow?"
He had a great time.
That's funny. So, but your was he just so competitive and just stoic?
No, he's very introverted and very quiet and very private.
That would be my best friend. We could just go and say nothing.
Yeah.
That's why Mike D and I get along so wonderfully. We don't say a word to each other for days and we're like, I love you too, man.
Okay, so we golf like every day for 5 days. Then we're going to take the next day off. He said, I'm going to take the tomorrow off. So he calls me late that night. And he says, hey, can you go with me tomorrow? He said, I just got called. I got to go, you know, do a favor for a guy. And he said, I want you to go with me and ride in the cart with me because I don't want to have to talk to anybody.
And you're already good at not talking.
So I'm the guy. Funny. I'm the go-to guy for not talking.
So, Mark, at all, you didn't feel like you needed to fill in those silent spaces just to not make it awkward?
Because I'm the same way.
Really?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Because I'm that way, too.
Introvert, same way, don't need to talk.
Yeah, introverted until it's time to be extremely extroverted.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I think a little bit of that from me is because I've had to become extremely extroverted. So then you're like, you know, I've got so much energy.
Yeah.
And also, I feel like I'm bothering people too. Yeah.
Right here.
Yeah. I feel like
it's textbook, same way.
Did you ever have imposter syndrome where you were to the point of like, well, listen, we're killing it, but do I really deserve it? And I'm saying you don't because I love you. But like me, I feel that all the time.
Every day I get up. Every day. Yep. Yep. Very blessed. can't believe this is still going on, and in the whole thing. Yeah.
One more Larry Bird thing. He's like 6'9", 6'10".
6'10". He's huge.
He's huge to be as good of a shooter, ball handler. He's so big.
When you see him and you go back and you look at all those clips, and I was a huge fan. So I you know, the only show I was late to was when they were playing the Pistons, and he steals the inbound pass, and you know, they beat the Pistons. But when you look at those, you look at Larry and you think, you know, the way he plays, he's 6'2".
Mm-hmm.
But he's 6'10".
Yeah, he plays like a guard.
He's huge. Yeah. Like, if he walked in that door, he'd have to duck. And when he came in, like, that was the first thing I noticed about him. And when you see other guys talk about him, was how big he is when you meet him. You can't believe he's that big.
You a big sports guy in general?
Yes.
Are all your favorite teams Florida teams since you grew up in Florida?
Florida State's my favorite football team. But all my folks are from Kentucky, so I'm a big Kentucky fan. But I'm also I'm friends with you know, the coaches at Arkansas as well. So
which ones?
Keith Smart.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Coach Smart's all we hung with Coach Smart a few months ago. Yeah, he was an NBA coach too. You know.
Yeah,
that's awesome. Yeah. Okay, so the book. What's in the book? Is it your life? Is it the band's journey? Like, if we read the book, what are we going to get from it?
Well, from my childhood all the way up and through the band, and you know, my. I'll just, you know, give you a couple snippets. My job through high, I played college basketball at the University of Central Florida. My job in high school and college, I was a trick water skier at Walt Disney World.
That's awesome.
So here's my question. Where I go in my head is, you're obviously a college athlete, but you're a trick water skier at the same time, meaning if anything goes wrong,
right,
you can't be a college athlete. Because yeah. You hurt your ankle trick water skiing.
Yeah, yeah. But things were different back then.
Well, body's still broke back then. I mean,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Did you ever hurt yourself trick water skiing that you couldn't play ball?
No.
Did you ever hurt yourself playing ball you couldn't trick water ski?
No.
And how did... So I guess growing up in Florida on the water, you just learned how to ski really well? And how did that turn into trick water skiing?
Well, the job at Walt Disney World was a big... You know, I was Pinocchio in the water ski show. And so...
You water skied as Pinocchio? This is the greatest story.
That's awesome.
It keeps unlayering one beautiful thing at a time.
So you have to do tricks. Like, so they want to see you skiing backwards and stuff. And you would have to do... Like, we would do shows over at the Polynesian Hotel, the Contemporary. And you would have to do, like, beach starts, dock starts, and all that kind of stuff. So you have to learn... You have to learn that later. Like, once you see this is the job, you know, so.
As Pinocchio, though, you're doing it.
Yeah, that was the toughest part because you've got this helmet on inside of this rubber head, and you've got these little eyes that you have to see out of. And when they get wet, you can't see. It's like a screen door if the screen gets wet.
And when you lie, the nose gets bigger.
And if you're like, I can see.
Exactly.
That's wild. All that's wild. Were you a pretty good ball player?
Yes.
And... Do you still play?
That's how I know Keith Smart. I played with Keith on the Fort Wayne Fury at the CBA. Yeah, he and Damon Bailey. I was a teammate of those guys.
And Keith ended up playing at Indiana.
Yeah, he played at Indiana, IU, won the national championship.
Like, made the shot.
Hit the shot. Yeah.
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 Do you still play pickleball at all?
I do.
You got to invite me because some of these... Here's the thing. There's a group of guys that play here... A lot, like Kane,
yeah,
Sam, but they play at 10 o'clock on like a Wednesday night.
Yeah,
I have to do this show.
Yeah,
and I'm assuming this is an assumption, Mark, that you don't play at 10 o'clock on a weeknight.
No, I don't. No.
So if you ever need an extra player,
all of our guys play earlier. Like we play at like at 7.
Oh, well, see, I got this job to do too. Unless
no,
it's a
7
weekend.
At night. 7 at night.
When do you want to play?
No, you're not building a game around me. No. Do you say 7 at night or 7 in the morning?
No, 7 at night.
I'll play that. Yeah, yeah. Where do you guys play? Don't say, is it like a public gym or does somebody have a place, a court?
I have a place.
You have a place. Okay. Yeah. Before you leave, I don't know if you have my number already, but I'm going to give it to you. And if you need a player,
okay,
don't create a game for me because I'm not good.
Okay.
But we travel around and do sports shows and play with college basketball teams, NBA teams. But I need a game that I can actually play in.
Okay. Yeah.
Look at still playing.
That's awesome.
I was a college ball player. Your voice... You played with us, and we're very thankful for that. We did our charity show at the Ryman, and we're big fans, and we invited you to come out, and you said yes, and you crushed. Your voice is still, it feels to me, as good as it was ever. Why is that?
Because I've never taken a day off. I mean, really, this year we're coming up on our 6,000th show.
Dang.
So the only time we ever took off was COVID, and everybody did.
Yeah.
So I've just, you know, and I always tell people, I get a 3-note range. That's why he can sing with me.
Yeah.
I feel good about singing. Like, I feel like I can sing his songs really good in the shower.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, I feel like I'm nailing it. But then I hear it back. Do you ever record yourself and you think you sound good, but then you hear it back terrible. And it's not as good as you thought? You started singing at what age?
In college.
Did you have an interest in music as a young kid?
When I was very young, little, my mom would make me sing in church, and she took me to a talent show when I was in the second grade, and it was a big talent show, and I won it, and I was so nervous about getting up in front of people, I told her, never again, I'm done. And so I didn't do anything, and it really affected me. I mean, in high school, I wouldn't even read out loud in class. And so when I got in college, I had a buddy that had a poem. He asked me to put some music to it because I taught myself how to play guitar. And I was a junior in college, and I put this music to this song. And then I decided, well, maybe I could write a song. So I wrote a couple songs. I had a friend at Disney that was in the band leader. I played him these songs, and he says, dude, he says, you wrote these songs? And I said, yeah. He goes, well, who's that singing? And I said, well, that's me. And he said, man, he said, there's something here. So that was in February. So I had just written the songs in February. I write 8 more songs. And a month later, my brother talks me into coming to Nashville on spring break. Me and Hobie, I've known Hobie since the 8th grade. We went to high school together. We borrow a buddy's van, we sleep in the van, and we come to Nashville in spring break and start knocking on doors. And what freaked us out was everybody took us serious. They would listen to the tape. I got a meeting with Tony Brown. He was at RCA at the time. I mean, and they're saying, "Boy, here's the deal. You have to be here. You need to move here, and you have to be here." And so I worked the rest of the summer, and Hobie and I packed up. I left my senior year. I went and talked to my coach and said, I'm on a red shirt and go try this, and came to Nashville.
So when you are a child and you sing, in my head, I see a second grader performing, I got to think everywhere. Did you have a deep voice for a second grader?
No.
Okay, all right, just making sure.
No, puberty took me down.
Got it.
Puberty took me down. I couldn't, it was the worst. I couldn't sing it, and my voice kept getting lower and lower and lower and lower and lower. And it just about took me down.
And so from that time of elementary school to in college, you really weren't singing?
No. Not at all. But I loved music.
Yeah.
I loved music. And my mom listened to country radio. I wasn't a fan. I loved Creedence. I loved the Beach Boys is my all-time favorite. And James Taylor, and then you know, Elton John, and then Billy Joel. That's what I loved. But my mom listened to country radio. So when I started to write, it was kind of a hybrid. That's where, like, you get step that step. It was like this hybrid of both.
Let's take a quick pause for a message from our sponsor.
This is Amy Brown from 4 Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
In every pair of Tecovas boots, you can expect handmade quality, first wear comfort, and timeless Western style. A great pair of Western boots will elevate a casual look or add a refined flair that'll draw both eyes and compliments. Tecovas boots are always made from premium bovine and exotic leathers, and with occasional resoling, they'll last a lifetime.
The best way to shop for boots is at your local Tecovas store, where you'll be greeted by the smell of fresh leather and a friendly smile. Come on in, grab a cold one, get fitted by a pro, and shop the latest styles. They offer custom branding and leather stamping if you want to personalize your boots or fine leather goods. And stay cool in short sleeve, moisture wicking pearl snap, or make your own shade with one of their classic straw hats, new in both men's and women's styles. And if you're planning to hit the road, Tecovas' ever-growing lineup of rugged and full-grain leather bags will get you where you're headed in style and are built to last decades. Visit Tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. Tecovas.com. And don't go gently, y'all. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How did the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Brewer shaped the sound and soul of country music as we know it today, despite never picking up an instrument herself. Lovingly dubbed as The Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters, wounded souls, wayward upstarts, that's where they would spur each other and tap into something bigger and something realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Backrack as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter The Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer, and the birth of outlaw country music. Listen now at audible.com/theboarsnest.
And we're back on the Bobbycast.
Looking back, and I was watching some old news clips, and I was watching like some Crook and Chase stuff, and I love them too, and to have them, I've sat with them, and like that to me is like very exciting. But to hear them at times describe you guys, because back then, and if I'm wrong, you can tell me, but you were kind of like pop country to people. And they're like, they're not all country. But now it's like, that is what, that's, yeah. It's so country now. And that's what I always say is like, the one thing that's been consistent about country music is there's always people that are pushing the limits.
Yeah.
And that ends up being what people now consider traditional country.
Yeah.
Have you seen that consistently happen with country music since?
Yeah, and I will tell you, I mean, Nashville was so locked down at the time. If it hadn't been for Star Search, there's a real good chance we would never gotten a deal. We wouldn't have made it.
Even though people were taking you seriously, and I know you guys were the band for like Don King's, his road band, yeah. Right? So where did that happen before you guys actually tried to make it together?
We were on the club circuit. I mean, the Sawyer Brown, this is the first band I was ever in.
Was it called Sawyer Brown?
It was called Savannah. And we toured.
They're like, hi, Savannah. I'm Jim. They thought you were Savannah. He went from one to the next. Yeah.
Yeah. We toured around the Southeast in club dates, and we were killing it in the clubs. And so, but we would come back home to Nashville. We would do a showcase, and it would be hilarious because we would be up, you know, doing, you know, just rocking out, and all these record execs would come in to see the showcase, and we would see them walking out halfway through the first song.
Because they didn't
because
think
of the way we were
doing.
Dressed, yeah. You know, we
it wasn't
we
that you weren't good. It was like they're obviously not fitting what we're looking
yeah,
for.
Yeah, we looked like the Rolling Stones, and you know, because and you know that's what we wanted to be. We wanted to be this. We wanted to be a country rock band.
Mm-hmm. So, who decides we're going to pursue Star Search, or do they come for you?
They came to town and they had an audition. We didn't even know what it was, but we were gonna be able to get a videotape. Because some of the clubs out west wanted to see us, so we went strictly to get this videotape. So we auditioned, and that was on a Friday. But they had told us, said we've already booked the show up through show 22. We don't even know what that means. We just want the videotape. and they had taped four. They said we've taped four shows, but we've booked all the way through 22. So we get a call on Monday. And they said, hey, you've been bumped in front of everyone. They want you on the next show. And so he says, we want you out here in L.A. tomorrow. So I said, well, you know, we can't afford, you know. And I start making excuses because I don't know how this is going to happen. And he says, buddy, my job, his name was Steve Stark. and he's in the documentary as well. It's pretty cool. But he said, my job is to get you here tomorrow. So we go out, and we're on the next day. And it was like the theme to the Beverly Hillbillies is playing in my head. You know, I'm on the plane, and it's like, we can't believe this. So we get out there. And so we win the first show. And we're kind of, we don't even know what that really means. So Steve comes back into the dressing room after everybody's like all excited, and we're kind of, but they'd given us five different dressing rooms, but we all dressed in one. You know, we were so intimidated. So we're all in this dressing room, and he comes in and he says, okay, we have another show in 3 days, blah, blah, blah. And we're sitting there and we're kind of stunned. And he goes, what's wrong? And I said, man, we just brought enough clothes for today. And so he goes, hang on. So he goes in, he comes back in, he's got like five vouchers. He says, we have you booked on a red eye. We want you to go home. And he looks at me and he says, Mark, I want you to bring back a lot of clothes. Mm. So we were out there for 6.5 months.
Wow. Whoa. Hey, Morgan, Star Search, for example, because think of American Idol, but before American Idol, but think of Ryan Seacrest, but that's Ed McMahon.
That's right. Yeah.
It was okay. That show. It was the original version of that. And they would give stars, like 3.5 stars, yeah. 4.5 stars. When you, did you get the money? Do you actually get $100,000?
Yeah.
And a recording contract, or was it like $100,000?
There was they weren't allowed to offer it because of the California laws at the time. It was only a TV show. So they were just, we got $5,000 when we won, but we were getting after scales. So we thought we were rich. And in our minds, we were, because we were getting like $1,600 for after scale and then $5,000 for winning each show. We kept winning. And then the ultimate prize was $100,000.
And you got the money.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
After you performed 3 or 4 times, did you feel like, hey, we might be onto something? Like, we're liked.
Yeah. Well, it was the fifth show. We went to the Beverly Center, the mall out mm-hmm. there. And people freaked out. It was like Hard Day's Night. The security guards had to come get us and get us back to the hotel. And
that's wild. It's weird to think of too, because there were only like 4 channels. Let's be honest, yeah. We didn't have many yeah. channels back then.
Yeah,
and so everybody, and that was a big show.
It was huge, and wow. And we just, you know, we found out really quick. I mean, the first show we did after that was an afternoon show in Palm Beach, and at the fair, and it was an afternoon. It was a midweek, and they had crowd controllers like, you know, 20,000 people.
Life had changed.
Yeah, yeah.
That's awesome. So you guys do that show, but then you come back to Nashville. Did they, because you had success there, were they like, well, we knew you were good? Was it that, or were people like, you know what, we were wrong. Now we kind of see what we were missing.
We ended up then getting an offer from every label. and we signed with Curb and Capitol. Curb and Capitol did a joint venture for us. But this was the funny thing was, all of the LA offices were calling that Nashville office and why don't you know about this band? And they had to say, we did know about them. We passed on them. And so,
like, their bosses were calling.
Yeah. Yeah.
Going, hey,
yeah,
what's up? Why? Yeah. That's
and the first three albums were handled in LA. We had LA budgets. I remember our video budgets were $150,000. In 1985.
That's a lot.
Our video budgets.
Yeah, it's not that now.
No.
I mean, $150,000 back then.
So it was crazy. And we were selling a lot of records.
So we got a few things we're talking about here. Let's talk about the album for a second. So it's Desperado Troubadours. What I noticed about it was, when I was looking at the track list, was that Cody Jinks, you wrote a song with Cody Jinks?
Yeah. Cody and I wrote Desperado Troubadours, he and I in Tennessee Jet. And Cody texted me yesterday, and he goes, man, I'm freaking out. I'm in my favorite motorsports store, and Desperado Troubadours just came on.
That's cool.
And he goes, I'm having like a geek fanboy moment right now. And he goes, I'm like telling everybody, like, I wrote this song.
We really like Cody.
And he's the best.
Yeah, and someone who like paid his dues and came up yeah. organically the hard way, but also yeah. says, this ain't the way you want to come up. Like, he's very honest about
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
So how did you and Cody even get to know each other?
You know, I think it was maybe the thing that we did at the Opry, and he came in and he loved the walk, and he was just, you know, so I met him there. We ran into him at in Montana, but my daughter had lived in Texas for a couple years. She became a big fan, and she kept telling me, you and Cody need to write songs together. Just, she picked him out. And so we connected, and we actually had to do a Zoom write. It was the first time I'd ever done a Zoom write. And we wrote Desperado Troubadours, and on the heels of that, I had the idea for Under This Old Hat. And so we rolled right into that as well. So ended up writing a couple songs, but have become really good friends since then.
The record came out earlier this month, and Blake is one of the producers of the record.
He produced the whole record.
So what does that mean? Everybody has a different role as producer. What did Blake do?
He was there from start to finish.
He was really there and was
start to
involved.
Finish. I mean, I flew out to Oklahoma and come to find out he's a huge historian of the band. I mean, he was asking me questions, you know, that were like, I'm like, holy cow. So he's a huge historian.
How do you even get with him to know he wants to produce it? Like, where did that even
Well,
come up?
He had done a People magazine article, and he said that Sawyer Brown was his first concert and The Race Is On was the first record he ever bought. So my brother, who's our manager, just says, hey, you know, let's get somebody to call him. So Narvo, his manager, you know, gets a hold of him. Well, he calls me within 5 minutes. And he goes, dude, he goes, I know you produce a lot of your records too, but he said, man, I'm in. I would love, he goes, you're my hero. So I would love to do this. So, I go out to Oklahoma. We talk through everything. And I said, you know, I want it to be a 90s record. I want it to sound like us. I don't want to go chasing something. And he loved that. So when we, you know, he and Gwen flew in and we camped out in the studio for like 3 or 4 days.
Dang, that's cool.
And he was the first one there, last one to leave. But his instincts, you know, and also this is what I'll tell you, and you probably already know this, but he, you know, has this Jethro Bodine, like, personality that, you know, he'll come off sometimes like this goofy country boy. He's really, really smart. He's like really smart. And his, like, his memory. And so he can recall songs, things. So he was doing that in the studio left and right. And he has all these great instincts. And there's a couple songs that I thought he saved. We got in there and started struggling, you know, because they were all brand new. We don't do demos. So we just write a song and go make a record. So he was really like, he was a champion on some of those things.
You like to hear yourself back?
No.
Because I hate hearing myself back. Do you ever hear, even in, you know, some of the biggest songs that you guys have done, do you ever hear slight imperfections of things in hits, or did you get them exactly right before you pressed them?
Early on, a lot of imperfections that I'll hear. But because always early on, I always would get nervous when I would go in the studio. So I always felt like I sang better, like, live sometimes. Like, I would do a song like The Walk or something live one night and go, God, I wish I would have sang like that on the record.
Do you feel like it's because you're freer? Like, just making a sports analogy, if you're not tight and worried about it, you usually play better, but then you get in your head, you want to play well, and it tightens you up a little bit.
Absolutely, 100%. And I really felt that early on, you know.
The Race Is On, 1989. Where were you? What was life like?
When I hear that song and not because of me, when I hear that song, sonically, it still holds up. So that's what I think, just as a producer and as a music guy. Like, when I hear that, I go, wow, man, we made a great record. But, you know, at the time, Hobie and I had were in New York, and we were in like this boutique store, and we had heard this punk rock version of The Race Is On. And we're like sitting there. So we were in doing the album. We'd finished the album, and so we're sitting there, and I had this idea of, you know, there's George Jones and there's punk rock, and we're somewhere in the middle of, like, we could do this. We could pull this off. But it would have to be, like, unbelievable, or, you know, you're on, like, you know, Howard Graham.
Yeah, you're covering, I mean, the George Jones and The Race Is On. I mean, it's got to be so good, or we're like, what were we even trying to do?
Exactly. So we're in the studio, And we're kind of just talking through it, and I think it was Larry London was like in there, and Larry goes, okay. He said, listen, he goes, he just starts this beat. And he goes, Mark, he says, Mark's going to come in, and he says, everybody lay out until we get to the chorus. And he says, and then all heck needs to break loose when you get to the chorus. And that's what we did. He just started bump, 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 bump. Avil to you as well. And it was like, boom. And we recorded it, and we knew we had something. And Randy Scruggs produced it. And Randy, when we got through, he goes over and calls. Jim Fogelsong was the president of Capitol at the time.
Of Scruggs, as in the Scruggs, Flat,
yes.
Scruggs?
Oh, got, yeah, it. Yeah, yeah. Earl's son, Randy Scruggs.
Got it.
And he goes over and he calls Jim Fogelsong, who was the president at the time. He gets him out of bed, and he says, you got to hear this. So he gets out of bed. This is 11 o'clock at night. He comes over. He listens to it, and he just said, wow.
Did you think it was going to be a single when you cut? I mean, it's a cover, obviously, and you changed the tempo's, yeah, much faster. Did you think as you're recording it would just be a fun song to do, or there was a shot that you would put it out?
I didn't. I knew when we finished that night, I knew it was going to be a single. I knew I was going to fight like everything for it to be a single, but I knew it was going to be a battle. But you had the best description, I think, on a TikTok thing of talking about chart positions, because you're exactly right. Some of our songs that went number one aren't as big as songs that went number five. And The Race Is On is a perfect example of that. It was just a huge impact record.
Some Girls Do, 1992. I mean, you guys have so many massive songs. But again, your music is layered where there is the rock,
yeah,
band. But again, you can hear that banjo in the background that gives it the texture of, oh, this is for real.
Well, Some Girls Do was recorded three times. I first went to Muscle Shoals, and I got an unbelievable recording of it in Muscle Shoals. But it was too rock, and I knew. But when I wrote Some Girls Do, I thought, it was the only song that I've ever written that I knew I had one. I thought, okay, I've written one. This could be something. So I go and record it in Muscle Shoals. It's so good. It's like ZZ Top. It's so rock, so good. I come back to Nashville. I play it for Randy. We go in the studio, we cut it in Nashville. It's so country, I want to throw up.
So it's the complete opposite.
Yeah, yeah. I hated it. So I thought, okay, it's going to be somewhere in the middle. So my favorite steel player is J.D. Manis, who played on all those, like California Cool. He's from L.A. We flew J.D. in, and we bring up some of the guys from Muscle Shoals, and we bring in some of the Nashville guys, and we recorded again. I play in both records.
It was that hybrid.
It was a hybrid.
Wow.
Yeah. But the song was that important to me. And it is the Mac Daddy. It's the biggest thing.
To you, that's the one?
Well, they always say, you know, like in your career when things happen and there's a shift and like I thought Step That Step was it.
Well, that was number one. It was back. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then before. I thought The Race Is On was it. Then I thought The Walk. And The Walk was huge. But they say you'll know when the one comes on. And Some Girls Do changed our everything. Some Girls Do took us into arenas. Mm. That's what that song did.
The Bobby Cast. We'll be right back.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
In every pair of Tecovas boots, you can expect handmade quality, first wear comfort, and timeless Western style. A great pair of Western boots will elevate a casual look or add a refined flair that'll draw both eyes and compliments. Tecovas boots are always made from premium bovine and exotic leathers, and with occasional resoling, they'll last a lifetime. The best way to shop for boots is at your local Tecovas store, where you'll be greeted by the smell of fresh leather and a friendly smile. Come on in, grab a cold one, get fitted by a pro, and shop the latest styles. They offer custom branding and leather stamping if you want to personalize your boots or fine leather goods. And stay cool in short-sleeve, moisture-wicking pearl snap, or make your own shade with one of their classic straw hats, new in both men's and women's styles. And if you're planning to hit the road, Tecovas ever-growing lineup of rugged and full-grain leather bags will get you where you're headed in style and are built to last decades. Visit Tecovas.com. That's Tecovas.com. Tecovas.com. And don't go gently, y'all. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How do the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Brewer shaped the sound and soul of country music as we know it today, despite never picking up an instrument herself. Lovingly dubbed as The Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters, wounded souls, wayward upstarts, that's where they would spur each other and tap into something bigger and something realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Bachrach as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter The Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer, and the birth of outlaw country music. Listen now at audible.com/theboarsnest.
This is the Bobbycast.
1993, thank God for you. What comes to mind?
Mac and Ellie. Mac and I wrote three or four songs. He, of course, wrote all these years. But he and I became really good friends. The first time I went to Muscle Shoals, he played on the stuff with us down there in the 80s. Became great friends. But he also really, really knows the band. And he came up with that chorus, and it was, you know, we recorded all this stuff on Muscle Shoals, all of our stuff. The big hits were in Shoals. Mac and I put a studio in his old house down there, and we would go down there and camp out and make our records.
This is the Coral Reefer?
Yeah.
Mac and Ellie?
Yeah.
So cool.
When you get sick, did your voice get deeper?
It does.
Does it like pop? Yeah. Like pop things? Now Mariah, things like crack. I like, boom, things are exploding. I would feel though, because if I'm doing stand-up or anything, my voice gets much deeper. If yours gets a lot deeper, can you still sing in the same key?
Yeah, I can.
That would be a benefit having a deep voice.
I have to get a, like I, Mac and I did something at the Hall of Fame last Saturday. And I had to get up, and it was going to be like at noon. So I had to get up at like 7 o'clock in the morning and start singing and try to, get the cobwebs off of it. Cause
that's me every morning, like 3 o'clock. Listen, we're big fans, really. And they were like, hey, Mark wants to come up. And we are pitched a lot of people. And I was like, yes, I don't even care what it's about. Absolutely. Is it his new, nude modeling?
Sure.
Doesn't matter. Whatever it is, he can come and do it. Again, such big fans. The documentary, now that isn't out yet. Is that,
right.
So, but Blake's a part of that too that I read.
He's the executive producer on that. He wanted to sign on to do that. And he does a huge interview. The documentary is 90 minutes long, but Blake's interview itself, had to be edited. His interview was an hour and a half.
Length of the documentary. Yeah. It just could have been a Blake interview.
Yeah, exactly.
Blake talks about Sawyer Brown. Yes.
Yeah.
Are you guys shopping that now to different?
It'll come out on one of the streaming services. We're still working on that deal, but it'll be out before the end of the year.
Do you ever hear your song randomly at like a Mexican restaurant and then point at yourself like, "Hey"?
I will hear, like, we've done so many songs. I will hear a song, and it'll just be real light in the background, and I'll kind of get mad because I'll go, "Man, that's somebody trying to sound like me." and it'll be me.
It's funny. Okay, The Boys and Me, My Life in the Country Music Supergroup Sawyer Brown by Mark Miller, who is Sawyer. Sawyer Brown's not a real person, everybody, in case you were wondering. All the tour dates, and you guys are playing a bunch of shows, sawyerbrown.com. You can see all the dates there.
100 cities this year.
Really?
Yeah.
You still, at what point do you start to get tired?
Yeah, I really don't. I'm kind of like, awesome.
You must not do a morning radio show while you tour. No. Because me, it's like show three, I'm like, I'm exhausted. Why did I sign up for this?
Yeah.
Congratulations on everything. I'm glad that you put new music out, first album in 20 years.
Yeah, yeah.
It's cool that Blake was involved.
Yeah.
But let's be honest, he didn't need him. He didn't need Blake, did he?
No, of course not.
And then also, it's so cool that you know Larry Bird. Do you ever talk to Larry anymore?
Yeah.
Oh, you guys still are friends?
Yeah.
If you ever play golf again and you need a fourth, I don't care where you are. I will fly. I will come right over and I will say nothing.
Well, I'm
working, I won't even look at eye contact.
I'm working on something for the signed basketball fourth.
Oh, that'd be really nice, Mark.
Well, Eddie just wants that because Eddie signed my Larry Bird goal. I'm a massive.
Did you really not see that on there?
No.
It was my fault. It wasn't all my fault, but I don't want him to feel bad. We were signing balls for our sports show, and that ball was on a table display because we were doing a different show. And then we were just signing, and it's like an assembly line. He just grabbed it, signed it, and moved on. He didn't even know he did it.
Mark, it was next to all the other balls, so I just grabbed it, signed it. I didn't even see Larry Bird's autograph.
The sports show is great.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I really appreciate that.
And you're a terrible basketball player.
And he's a terrible
player. Not you, Bobby.
I am.
You're terrible.
But oddly, my kids are really good, so I don't know. It's really weird.
Okay, so the book, the record, you'll let us know when the documentary's out.
Yep.
Just let me know, and I'll tell everybody to go check it out. The tour, congratulations. And. Yeah. I mean, if you have any ball player in town, let me know.
I'll do it.
Other than that, anything, Eddie, before we go?
No. Just, I mean, if you need another player, too, I'm available.
Okay.
Mark. All of a sudden, his phone doesn't work. Oh, man. I must not have got that text. Mark, thank you, and congratulations on everything.
Thank you, guys. And I'm a huge fan.
Oh,
huge
thanks, man.
My daughter is a huge fan, and she's out there. Hi, Madison.
Hi, Madison.
She directed the documentary.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
So does she have... Is this the first document? Like, what is her background?
She has her own TV show called Chasing Down Madison Brown on RFD TV.
Oh, that's awesome. So she knows what she's doing.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, let me randomly pick one of my family members.
Yeah.
You!
Right. Yeah.
Awesome. That's really cool. We can't wait to see it. Congratulations. That's really cool. And the B side of Blake just doing an interview for 90 minutes. If it's so successful, they just put that out too. Mark Miller of Sawyer Brown. Follow on Instagram at Sawyer Brown Band. And check out the book and the record. And go check them out on tour because they're so good. All right, thanks.
Thank you, man.
Thanks for listening to a Bobbycast production.
In every pair of Tecovas boots, you can expect handmade quality, first wear comfort, and timeless Western style. Tecovas boots are always made from premium bovine and exotic leathers, and with occasional resoling, they will last a lifetime. The best way to shop for boots is at your local Tecovas store, where you'll be greeted by the smell of fresh leather and a friendly smile. Come on in, grab a cold one, get fitted by a pro, and shop the latest styles. Visit Tecovas.com. That's Tecovas.com. And don't go gently, y'all.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
I'm Victoria Cash. Thanks for calling the Lucky Land Hotline. If you feel like you do the same thing every day, press 1. If you're ready to have some serious fun for the chance to redeem some serious prizes, press 2. We heard you loud and clear. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com right now and play over 100 social casino-style games for free. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.